Presenting radio's foremost laboratory of new writing and production techniques, the Columbia Workshop. Joe Peabody's Dream is the name of this week's opus by the Columbia Workshop. And we think you'll find it quite a dream. It was written by Maurice Franz. The musical score is by Charles Paul, and the program is directed by Betty Todd. Let's investigate Joe Peabody's dream.
This is the story of Joe Peabody's dream. Like most dreams, it has its whimsical moments. At times, it's pretty unreal. But its foundation is fact. The first fact we'd like to present is Joe being bawled out by his boss, Mr. Turk. That happened in the morning.
If I've asked you once, I've asked you a dozen times, Peabody. Where is that Smith and Johnson letter?
I don't know, Mr. Turk. It must be lost.
Nonsense, Peabody. Nothing is lost around here. That letter has been misfiled, hasn't it?
If you say so, Mr. Turk, it must have been misfiled, I guess.
Don't guess? No! Take me. I always know. And Peabody.
Yes, Mr. Turk?
Peabody, if you want to stay with us, find that letter. I expect efficiency from each and every employee. So get on your toes, man. Harmony and cooperation. Each cog and wheel moving smoothly, contributing to the overall balance. Without that, chaos and anarchy. We wouldn't want that to happen, would we?
Oh, no, sir.
You must remember, Peabody, rationing is over. So don't ration cooperation. That's not bad, Peabody, is it? Not bad at all. We must not ration cooperation. Better find that letter, Peabody.
Joe Peabody couldn't find that Smith and Johnson letter. Somehow it eluded him. He looked high, and he looked low. And as he looked...
Cooperation. Balance. Harmony. Gosh, I can lay it on. Anarchy. Chaos. Bushwalk.
So much for fact number one, the bawling out. So much for the mysteriously mislaid Smith and Johnson letter. As for cooperation, balance, harmony, and the cog and wheel routine, well...
I'm just a cog in the wheel, that's what I am.
Gosh, you played up for seconds, Joe. There's no rationing now.
I know it. As I was saying, he says he wants cooperation and harmony. Sometimes he makes me so mad I could bust.
Here's your plate, Pop. Look out for the gravy.
And don't bother me, Joni. I'm just a cog going around and around like a Ferris wheel or a merry-go-round. I'm sick of balance and harmony. Take some of that anarchy and chaos.
Pop, spill the gravy again. Pop, spill the gravy again.
Joe, now look what you've gone and done.
Oh, I don't care. The heck with it. What have you got for dessert, Margaret?
Mince pie. Though I must say, Joe, I don't think you deserve any mince pie now. Just look at that spot. Do you think we ought to give him any, Joni?
Just try and keep him away from mince pie. He'll eat three helpings. I bet he will.
Mince pie was made to be eaten, Joni. Mince pie was made to be eaten. Rationing is over, you know.
Which brings us to our second fact. Mince pie. Joe had his three helpings, might have been four, and then he settled down next to the radiator and started to read his newspaper. It was warm next to that radiator, very warm. The temperature went up past 75, 76, 77, 78, 79, and at last hit 80 Fahrenheit. And that's warm, folks, very warm. Especially when a man has a newspaper in front of him and a radio half on in the background.
No.
life is...
Joe tried to concentrate on the news. Nylon lines and OPA, labor and management and OPA, the hungry in Europe, the hungry in Asia and OPA. And at last, Joe just couldn't take it.
I cannot believe it. For life is wonderful. Life is beautiful. Life is...
Oh, yeah. Well, they know about life anyway. Who cares? I'm sleeping. I'm going to bed right now. Don't start that radio again. I want to sleep. Life is wonderful. Life is beautiful. Life is... Oh, bourgeois.
I guess you've gotten facts number 3, 4, and 5. Joe Peabody went from reading about the nylon lines and OPA straight to bed with all that mince pie inside him and the thermometer in his living room reading...
80 degrees. Holy smoke. Well, what got into that super? Just listen to that steam.
So he went to bed. He fell asleep promptly. And then he dreamed a dream.
Mince pie! More mince pie! Hurry! More!
But you've had 3 dozen pies already.
Now so what? Bring me more. More. A little cooperation and harmony, Margaret, or we'll have chaos and anarchy. That's what Mr. Turk says. Turk. He makes me mad enough to bust. What do you want, little girl?
Monsieur, j'ai faim.
You're talking French. And I can understand you. You're saying that you're hungry.
I can say it in Dutch, too. Ik heb honger.
But you're my Joni. You look like her. You talk like her.
In Italian, you say, e petito. I can say it in every language, and it means the same thing every time. I'm hungry.
Go away, Joni. Go away, little girl. You bother me. And besides, there's no rationing now.
But I'm hungry. They never ration being hungry.
Is that a fact? What do you know? Then we'll have to do it right now. We'll ration starvation. Yeah. How's that, Joni? How's that? We'll ration starvation.
All I know is I'm very hungry.
Go on and beat it, will you? I'm busy, Joni. Very busy. Hey, Margaret. More pie. More mince pie. What I need is harmony and balance. And mince pie. Mince pie! Gosh, it's hot down here. Got to find that super. He's got that Smith & Johnson letter, and he's better give it to me. Gosh, it's hot. Hot as blazes. Ah, that's him, all right. I better hurry. Hey, super! Hey!
Four, get the heat to every floor. Tie down the steam belt, tie it tight. We're aiming at 2,000 Fahrenheit. The tenants will sweat it out tonight.
I'm looking for the super.
Which super?
My super. He's got a letter for me.
Say, I know you. You're 503. The name is Joseph Peabody.
That's me. Where's the Smith & Johnson letter?
I haven't got it. Misfiled, you know. And now, I think you'd better go.
Oh, darn. Misfiled, huh?
Misfiled or lost, it's one or the other. It's liable to cost you your job, brother.
That's what you think. They couldn't do without me.
Oh, that's what you think. But you find out. Now, is there anything else you want to tell me about?
Well, it's pretty hot up in my apartment at 503.
No, really? Really hot? Here, what's this I've got?
It looks like a snowball.
The snowball chants of gents and ladies always had been slim in case until the last one melted and fades. The temperature throughout this place will be 6 million centigrade.
6 million centigrade? Golly, that's hotter than my apartment. It's only 80. 80 Fahrenheit.
You're going to catch it, bud.
Wait till I tell Mr. Entwistle, the owner. You'll wish you hadn't pulled that boner.
Gross neglect and scandalous disregard, the OPA will say.
Well, it wasn't my fault.
Oh, yeah? Haven't you heard the latest OPA regulation? Heading J, subgroup X, applies throughout the nation.
So help me, up to this minute, I never even dreamed there was such a heading.
You never even dreamed it, you vow. Well, Bud, you're dreaming it right now.
Latest report from the OPA on subgroup X of heading J. For heading J of subgroup X, if the tenant grossly neglects the heat or his family disregards the temperature, it will go hard.
It'll go hard, and they ain't kidding. Into the streets you'll all be ridden. 80 Fahrenheit is forbidden.
Have a piece of mince pie.
No. No, thanks. I guess I'd better be going. I'm looking for a letter from Smith and Johnson. It's very important.
Mince pie! Mince pie! Mince pie, I cry!
Mince pie, mince pie, mince pie. I don't take apple. Laugh at peach whenever mince pie is in reach. Well, people starve, the nation totter. Your duty's plain, mince pie, you got it. And don't you care a thunderation. Remember, duration, starvation.
And down and around and around.
These nylons will cost you $5 a pair.
Hey, ain't that kind of high?
But things always are. But life is beautiful. Life is wonderful. If you want to make an impression, get nylons.
Okay, I'll take them. 3 dozen, all sizes. Give me those nylons. Whoopee.
And up and down and around and around.
Yippee. I gotta find that letter. I just gotta find it.
Hey, Peabody, got that Smith and Johnson letter?
Not yet, Mr. Turk.
Come on, adjourn this, kid. Our life is beautiful. Life is wonderful.
But you're just going around in a merry-go-round.
So what, Peabody? Jump on. I want to talk
That's
with you.
That's it, bud.
Jump! Hey, what's the big idea? I don't get it.
Look, stupid, I'm labor. Your boss, Turk. Yeah, you get it. He's the boss. His stuff costs me more dough, so I want higher wages.
Don't listen to him, Peabody. He wants higher wages, so I have to charge more. Get it? Hey, take a letter. Take 2 letters. Take 3. You got a letter, Peabody?
Not yet, Mr. Turk. Not yet.
Well, let's get it. Everybody's got a letter. Up on your toes.
Get on the merry-go-round. Give nylons. Beautiful, wonderful nylons. Only $5 a pair.
I can't afford nylons. Crayons, good enough.
In this grade, the nylon ceiling is $1.40 a pair. I'm not paying a cent more.
Me either. Say, who's that guy? Why doesn't he go up and down?
He's from the OPA. He's keeping prices level.
Hey, there's somebody I know. Joni! Joni!
Daddy, can I go on the merry-go-round?
Sure, Joni.
All you have to do is jump on, little girl.
But I'm very tired and hungry. Won't you stop?
We can't stop. You'll have to jump.
Mr. Turk says you'll have to jump, Joni. Watch out now.
Here I come.
She missed. She's fallen under the merry-go-round.
I'm hungry and cold. I can say it in 15 languages.
Shut up, kid. You're breaking my heart. Don't you know that life is beautiful and wonderful? So shut up.
I'm stopping this merry-go-round right now.
No, you don't, Peabody. This is where you get on. There.
Johnny. Johnny, where are you? Answer me, Johnny. I've got to find her. I've got to find Johnny in the Smith and Johnson letter. Johnny! Johnny!
Don't forget that letter, Johnny. Peabody!
Nylons, nylons, nylons! Make life beautiful, kiddo! Make it wonderful!
Now I know what we'll do! We'll race and starve it!
That bed winds it up, Mr. Entwistle. They're all moved out now.
right on the sidewalk. Yes, sir.
Good, good. I don't say I'm not sorry for them, mind you, but my hands are tied. Tied by the OPA regulations. Joe Peabody should have thought of that before he let the heat go up to 80.
Yes, sir, that's right. But, kind of tough on them, though.
Oh, I don't say it isn't. Mind you, I'm not saying it's... Ah, there you are, Peabody.
Mr. Entwistle, have you the Smith and Johnson letter?
I have not. That letter was misfiled.
It sure must have been misfiled, all right. I can't find it anywhere. Say, what are my bed and lamp doing on the sidewalk? They belong upstairs with the rest of those things.
Oh, no, they don't, Peabody. Heading J, subgroup X, remember?
But you can't put us out. It's inhuman.
Peabody, you please keep my character out of this. And don't think I'm not sorry for you, because I am. Oh, I am.
Well, then why are you doing this to us?
My hands are tied, Peabody. The OPA, very strict, you know.
Why don't you say you're going to get around the OPA and get more rent from my apartment, Mr. Entwistle? Because that's what you're doing.
Peabody, I'm ashamed for you to judge your fellow man so harshly. And don't forget, it'll cost a pretty penny to redecorate your apartment. A pretty penny.
But what about my family? Margaret and Joan?
That's your affair, Peabody, and yours alone. You should have thought of them last night.
I certainly should have thought of them last night.
Peabody, I'm sorry for you. I declare, man, I'm sorry. Really sorry for you.
Thanks a lot. What do we do? Where do we go?
Put your trust in Jonah Entwistle. Why, man, I have my tenants' interest at heart. I really have. Very confidentially, I know of a house to rent at Minneola. 6 rooms, bath, heat, all conveniences, rent, $75 a month.
Oh, that's 15 more than we're paying right now.
Don't bother me with trifles. You better hop on the train to Minneola. Owner's name is Keene, Jim Keene. Just tell him I sent you, and it'll be all right. But you better hurry. Your train leaves from Penn Station in less than a minute. On your toes, man. On your toes.
I'm up on them. See? Up on your toes, Peabody. Up on your toes. Up on them. Up.
And have a piece of mince pie.
Look, will you please get off your tiptoes, brother? It makes me nervous.
I'd like to, mister, but I can't. You see, I've got to keep on my toes. Got to. Mr. Entwistle told me to. He said you'd rent me a house if I stayed up on my toes.
All right, suit yourself, brother Peabody. Suit yourself. Here, have a cigar. No, wait a minute. Hold on. It's up to you to give me a cigar. Got any cigars, Peabody?
No, I don't smoke, mister, so I guess I haven't got any.
Yep. You sure, brother? Take a look. Maybe you got one, huh? Never can tell, you know.
No, I'm pretty sure I... Well, I'll be... Here, mister, have a perfecto.
That's more like it, brother. Now you're talking. And don't call me mister. Call me Keene. Plain Jim Keene.
Yeah, thanks. Now, about your house, Mr. Keene.
Just Jim Keene, brother. Plain Jim Keene.
The rent is $75 a month. Is that right?
I hope to tell you it is. That's what the OPA allows me.
Then I'll take it. Here's the first 2 months' rent.
Now, hold on a minute, brother. I didn't say I'd rent this place. I only said I might rent it.
Mr. Entwistle said you would. He promised if I kept up on my toes...
Look, forget all about that, brother, and listen to me. Now, I'd like to rent this place for the winter and go to Florida. I'd like that fine. But money, brother. Did you ever hear about Moolah, Mazuma, the filthy lucre?
Well, if you want more than $75 a month, I guess I can scrape up a little extra. How much?
Oh, no, you don't. That would be violating the OPA. And that's one thing I'm not fixing to do, brother. It ain't smart.
Won't you please rent me your house? Please.
Up on your toes, Peabody. Up on your toes.
Don't do that.
Please, rent me your house, won't you?
Well, I'd like to, brother. I'd like to. But if I rent you the house, I've got to go to Florida. And that takes money. More money than I can spend.
How much? How much money?
Well, including everything, the trip will cost $1,700.
I've only got $1,500.
But it could be done on less.
Victory bonds. I've sort of been trying to hang on to those victory bonds. You see, I want to...
Victory bonds. Who cares for them now? The war's over. Victory's here. Victory's here, brother. So loosen up, Peabody, loosen up. I think you'll like my little house, and I... I think I'm going to like that little trip. Yes, sir. I think I'm going to enjoy every minute of it.
$1,400, $1,500. Right. Sign your releases here.
Have a piece of mince pie?
No more pie. No more pie. Turn off the heat. It's up to 80. Turn off the heat. No more pie. In the name of everything, will you turn off the heat?
Mr. Turk, I've come to report about the Smith and Johnson letter.
Well, what about it?
Mr. Turk, I've looked everywhere. I've been all over the world, and they all say the same thing.
What do they say, Peabody?
Well, they all say that letter was misfiled.
You see, Peabody, I told you that in the first place. But oh, no, don't take my word for it. Oh, no. Well, what have you got to say?
I tried awfully hard, Mr. Turk. I looked everywhere. I talked to everybody. I even got up on my toes.
Did that help any?
No, I had to sell my victory bonds.
Now you see what comes of letting the temperature go up to 80.
Yes, sir, I certainly see that. But that's not all. I also saw you on the merry-go-round.
Well, what of it?
Mr. Turk, why didn't you stop the merry-go-round?
To let that little brat on? Peabody, if I didn't know you, I'd think you were drunk.
She was very hungry. She's very hungry in 15 languages and cold.
That's none of my business. She probably deserves to be hungry.
She's very young, Mr. Turk. Too young to be that cold and hungry.
I was young once, Peabody. Look at me now. Look at me.
I'm looking, Mr. Turk.
Peabody, stop looking.
I'm looking, Mr. Turk. Well?
Stop it, Peabody. I'm boss around here, and what I say goes. Peabody, stop looking at me.
I'm looking through you, Mr. Turk. And what I see can't be described. It can't be printed. Tell me. How did you make out with those nylons? Did you make an impression? Is life beautiful? Is it wonderful?
Peabody, if you want your job, shut up!
Are you busy investigating credit references? Are you going up while everybody else is going down?
Peabody, you're fired!
That's what I wanted you to say. Now, say it again.
Peabody, you're fired! Get out!
Thank you. Thank you very much. Now look around you, Mr. Turk, and listen.
The Smith and Johnson letter.
No, it isn't the Smith and Johnson letter. That letter was misfiled. Don't ask me where it's gone to. I don't know. But I do know this.
What do you know, kiddo? Come on and tell us. Leave us in on it.
I know I'm a walking, living atomic bomb. I've got so much anger and rage in me, I could burst. But when I do, the whole world will go up in smoke. The oceans will burst into one mighty flame, and the mountains will be dust.
Peabody, you're being wild and unreasonable. Stop it this instant.
Try and make me. Do you want to see that last terrible fire? Go down to the beach and look out to sea. When I explode, and I'm mighty close to
it. Peabody, I command you.
That's not the way to say it. I'm beginning to swell, folks. I'm twice my natural size.
To help me, he's swelling up like a balloon.
Don't run. Where can you go? No one is safe now. I'm going to blow up the world and all its merry-go-rounds. Watch me. I'm getting bigger and bigger.
If it's your job, Peabody.
Aren't going to be any jobs, Mr. Turk. Aren't going to be any people. Just going to be plenty of nothing.
He's six times as large as any man I ever saw. Seven.
And I'm getting larger.
Yeah, look at him.
And larger.
I don't like the way he...
I'm getting ready to blow my top.
No, no, don't do that.
And when I
do... Peabody, I command you. I implore you. Think of your family. Your child. Joni.
It's too late. I'm going to blow everything up. Everything. We've had our chance. And we missed it. It's too late.
No, it isn't. There's still time.
Is there, Joni? Are you sure?
Of course she's sure, Peabody. Tell him, little girl.
Shut up. Joni, wouldn't nothing be better than this?
Sunlight is pretty, Father, and when the wind dances on the water, the birds sing the nicest songs.
Yeah, kiddo, yeah. Life sure is beautiful. Could have.
Don't tempt me, you fool.
People are happy sometimes. And they laugh.
I've heard their laughter, Joni. It was frightening.
Not all of it. There's bad laughter and there's good. The kind we have at home when you tease me. The kind we have when We play with the puppy. The kind we all have when we're friends together and happy. Don't destroy that, Daddy.
Johnny, do you think that laughter and friendship are worth the sorrow and pain?
Well, I'm very young, but that's what I think.
I see. Johnny, you've saved us all. I almost destroyed the world. But I'm so happy now there's no anger or rage in me. Live, everybody. I give you back your world.
But Peabody, you're growing even bigger.
Am I? That's funny. Well, watch me. I'm going to get smaller and smaller.
Yeah, but you're getting bigger, Bud. Exhale, will you? But slowly.
All right.
Yeah.
How's that?
Concentrate, man. Concentrate. You see, you're growing bigger and bigger.
I am? Well, then I must concentrate.
Mister, oh, mister, don't blow us up.
I can't stop.
No.
I can't.
Oh, look at
I thought I could turn it on and then turn it off, but I was wrong. And now? Now there's nothing. There's this void, this space, and my voice. My name was Joe Peabody, and this was my dream. And now there are no longer dreams. There's no more substance. There's nothing.
Don't worry, folks. It was only a dream. Only a dream by Joe Peabody, who ate too much mince pie and went straight to bed in his overheated apartment. Feel better now? You don't? Look out of the window, then. The world's still there. Nothing's been blown up. Yet. It was all a dream, folks. A bad dream. And speaking of dreams, any resemblance between Joe Peabody's dream and any other dream, fictitious or real, is coincidental. Absolutely coincidental. So long, folks. Have a piece of mince pie?
A special notice to radio listeners. Starting next week, the Columbia Workshop will move to Sunday afternoons at 4. That's next Sunday afternoon at 4 Eastern Standard Time over most of these stations. The first program at the new time will be The Playroom, a modern allegory by Howard Rodman, as directed by John Dietz. Today's broadcast was entitled Joe Peabody's Dream. It was written by Maurice Franz and directed by Betty Todd for the Columbia Workshop. The original musical score was composed and conducted by Charles Paul. The program featured Bob Donnelly as Joe Peabody, with Lorna Lynn as Joni, Kermit Murdoch as Mr. Turk, and Frank Butler as the narrator. Others in the cast were Fred Kearney, Don Douglas, Bob Dryden, Louise Fitch, Ed Latimer, Minerva Pius, and Walter Vaughn. The choral effects were done by the Columbia Male Chorus. Your announcer is Sandy Becker. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.